I'm a loving the old lion, a winner without fail.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the PDX Leo Party, Friday, July 31st, starting at 8 p.m. at Kelly's Olympian. A birthday celebration for all you Portland Leos with special performances from Sleep of Old Dominion and the Chicharrones, Mike Crenshaw, Smoke M2D6, and many more. Again, that's the PDX Leo Party on Friday, July 31st, starting at 8 p.m. at Kelly's Olympian, located at 426 Southwest Washington Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Willamette River Revival Sunday, August 2nd from noon to 7 p.m. at Cathedral Park in North Portland. The Willamette River Revival is a community-based river festival to celebrate and reconnect with the lower Willamette River and its cleanup. The Grand Ronde Tribe will host a salmon bake. There will also be tabling by environmental groups, Native American crafts, live folk music, storytelling, and other activities. Again, that's the Willamette River Revival, Sunday, August 2nd, from noon to 7 p.m. at Cathedral Park in North Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And this is KBOO Portland. The time is 10 a.m. And coming up, Air Cascadia is off today. We're going to hear a full hour of Flashpoints, taking us up to 11 with the Radio Zine, where we'll hear a workshop hosted by activist and author Ajamu Umi on American identity and structural racism and violence. This is recorded right here in Portland at In Other Words Bookstore. And thanks again to all the members of the KBOO Foundation that have made all of this possible with their generous support. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Those of you listening who have not yet become a member, find out more about what that means and remedy your lack of membership by going to kboo.fm and click where it says Donate Today. Coming up right now, we've got a report from our brothers and sisters in struggle down on the San Francisco Bay Area from Berkeley, KPFA, and the Pacifica Foundation. This is Flashpoints.
Today on Flashpoints, Portland activists continue their battle to block Shell's icebreaker from heading out to the Arctic to commence the drilling process. Also, private prison owners getting rich on Obama's massive record, a record-breaking deportation program, and a Palestinian-American college professor arrested and deported from Israel for no reason, brutalized along the way. We're going to hear that story. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Sorry for that little microphonic screw-up. I am here, and this is your daily investigative news magazine. First, we take it back to Portland, Oregon, where we're joined by Jenka Soderberg. She is the evening news and public affairs director at KBOO. They have been, there's been a lot of activities around Shell and an icebreaker ship that is on its way to the Arctic, or so it hopes to be, to begin the process of drilling and endangering the extraordinary resources in the Arctic. Jenka Soderberg, welcome back to Flashpoints. Remind people what's been going on. Give us a summary.
Thanks, Dennis. So there have been 13 activists locked down since early Wednesday morning to the St. John's Bridge. They've been hanging from platforms, suspended by ropes. And as of right now, police are on the bridge attempting to extract them, as well as the Coast Guard and the fire department. There is right now another activist that has locked down to a railroad bridge that is just between the port where the ship is harbored and the St. John's Bridge, both of which have to be passed in order for that ship to reach the Columbia River and then the Pacific Ocean. Now, that activist is locked down with a neck lock to the railroad bridge. This was kind of the last ditch effort as the police moved in to extract the hanging activists late this afternoon. They have not yet extracted the activists. They're still hanging there from the bridge, but they've closed off the bridge and have extraction equipment in place.
What's a neck lock?
It's a U-lock for a bike, and that's been attached to another piece of metal tubing that's been attached to the bridge itself. So the police have moved in there first to extract him, because that's the first bridge that the boat will have to move under, and then it will go to the bridge where the activists are hanging below.
So that's what the police are doing now. Now, do they have to do that by boat? How do they do
that? No, they're actually on top of the bridge, and they've got they have fire personnel that they've got harnesses on, and I guess they're preparing to go down ropes themselves and arrest people midair.
Who can you tell us who's up there? Did you meet some of the people?
And what happened today is Shell actually went to a friendly judge in Alaska, a federal judge that they have gone to before, Susan Gleason, and asked for an injunction against Greenpeace because of this action. They say that it cost them nearly $60,000 a day to rent this ship that is the icebreaker ship that's currently in port in Portland. And so the activists from Greenpeace should be paying them that amount as long as that ship is being held in port and as long as the blockade is in place. So the judge ruled in Shell's favor, ordering that Greenpeace must pay $2,500 each hour that the protesters remain in place. Now, that was this morning, and as of right now, 5 o'clock, the police moved in to extract the activists.
So this is actually costing them quite a bit of money, the overall action. How can you evaluate that?
Well, it's costing them money in that they're renting this ship. It is a Finnish ship owned by Arctia Shipping. So it's costing them in that respect. It's also costing them as far as their stock prices, which are going down as this action has taken place, and it's costing them time. They have a limited window in which they can actually attempt to drill in the Arctic. They have to have their equipment in place, and they have to complete their exploratory drilling by the end of September. They attempted in the past, in 2012, to do drilling in December, and their ship, the Kulluk, had to be extracted and actually ended up sinking because it was run aground and there weren't any tugboats that could pull it out because of the ice and the conditions of the water in the Arctic Circle in winter. So they're at every step of the way, their previous attempts to drill in the Arctic have been disastrous, including that 2012 attempt.
Now, the ship here is, they need this ship because this is the beginning of the process, right? This is an important part of this.
What this ship has on it, the Seneca, it's not just an icebreaker ship which breaks through icebergs. It also has in it a cap that it has been required by the federal government for all of these ships doing this type of drilling to have before they begin. That is a cap in case there is a spill that is a safety device that should presumably be able to be put in place if there is a spill, although that's questionable as well, especially given the conditions in the Arctic. But yeah, this is a ship that they need in order to begin their exploratory drilling. So it's the last step. They've got the Polar Pioneer, the major drilling rig up there already, and they're just waiting on this ship, which they had already damaged somehow, managed to damage it, and had to bring it back here to Portland for repairs.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're speaking with Jenka Soderberg of the evening news department at our sister station, KBOO, in Portland, Oregon. There has been action. These actions have been going on several days now, right?
Yeah. The kayak activists taking to the waters at that time and trying to ensure that if the ship were to take off from the dry dock where it was being repaired, that they would be in place in the water.
These are the kayak activists.
That night.
Yeah.
In kayaks and in a line trying to block the ship from crossing. And kayak activists are also remaining in the water now, but as on Friday morning, on Wednesday morning, they were joined by these Greenpeace activists that dropped down from the bridge, and 13 of them hung from platforms. They've been there now a day and a half, hanging from platforms, from ropes suspended from the bridge, with support people at the top, sitting in hammocks with harnesses on, just holding that space so that the ship would be unable to pass. So since that time, for the last day and a half, people have been going out on boats and underneath of these suspended activists and trying to ensure that that blockade takes place. Early this morning, the Feneca ship actually did try to leave the port, and it ended up turning around, and that's when Winchell went to their judge, who is a friend of the company, who has ruled in their favor multiple times, Susan Gleason.
Did they say why they turned around? It was too dangerous, they couldn't get out?
They didn't say, but they did then go into court and say that these activists were blocking the ship. So presumably it was to prove to the judge that they were in fact being blocked.
And maybe the ship wasn't working well, and that was a good excuse, because it wasn't ready to go yet. But you've got I guess the activists hanging from the bridge, they had dinner there last night or this morning, or they've been up there over 24 hours.
They've been up there over 24 hours. Their support people have been passing down water and food to them, and they've just been holding tight. I went out in a kayak this morning and went underneath, and I could see them up there and wave to them, and they seem to be in really good spirits. And as of right now, they are still hanging on and refusing to come down as the police order them to come down or risk arrest.
Now, we know that's the most radical part of the action taking place. But what can you say about the support of Portlanders? Do you think their sympathy are with these folks who are trying to block this ship going out to the Arctic?
Oh, there's been a whole lot of support. Hundreds and hundreds of people coming down to Cathedral Park under the St. John's Bridge, showing support either by going out in boats themselves or standing on the side of the river with signs and cheering. And there's been drummers down there since this morning, musicians, people coming down to show support by bringing food. There's just a whole lot of food that's been donated. Our organic gardeners coming down with their produce. And really, when people are crossing the bridge as well, a lot of people honking support. There hasn't been any harassment of the people on the bridge, just really a lot of support from the surrounding community.
All right. I want to thank you very much for joining us, Jenka Soderberg, from Portland, where the resistance continues against a Shell icebreaking ship. And folks are still hanging from the bridge. The corporate people are in court, and the people are out in the streets. Thanks, Jenka, so much for being with us on Flashpoints. Good luck.
Thank you, Dennis.
And you are listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Coming up next, we're going to hear what happened when a Palestinian American, a college professor, tried to go back to his hometown of Jerusalem after over 20 years. Well, he didn't quite make it. We're going to hear more about that. Stay with us.
And we have an update on that situation at the St. John's Bridge. Several bridge hangers and kayakers were arrested, about 11, I believe, and there's video of Multnomah County Sheriff's patrol boats endangering kayakers, even striking their craft and endangering their lives. Stay tuned for more on this developing story. Now, back to Flashpoints.
just a whole lot of food.
In just a moment.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. And, well, we turn our attention back to, I guess you have to say, Israel and Palestine and the discrimination that continues against Palestinians there and here in the United States, folks who want to go back. And that's what this story is about. Joining us in studio is Dr. George Corey. Dr. Corey is 70 years old. He's a U.S. citizen born in Palestine. He has lived in the San Francisco Bay Area for over 30 years now. He's a professor of languages and deacon in training. Last week, Dr. Corey went back, tried to visit his birth city of Jerusalem for the first time in some 21 years. He didn't really make it. He was treated like a criminal. He was arrested and he was deported for no reason. Welcome, Dr. Corey. We want to talk about what happened to
you. Thank you. You're welcome.
Good for you to come in.
Thank you.
You left for what was meant to be a 3-week trip last Monday.
Yes.
You returned Friday, and the days in between were a horror story.
Yes, the days in between, I spent them in a building that they called immigration. But really, in fact, it was not any building for immigration. It was a building